You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you here. Happy Thursday, everybody. I'm Pete Schwabba, and I am looking right across the window at my pal, the one and only Mr. Greg Bach. Hey, buddy.
Good evening. Good night, light, everyone. How are y'all doing?
Dom, I think he's talking to you.
I'm doing all right.
Everyone. I'm doing everyone tell me. I want to know from everybody. Everyone.
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Did you get some coffee, Greg?
I did. Oh, my goodness. I was so yawny before the show. Oh, my goodness.
You were.
I don't know why. I slept really well last night. I got a good night. I got a good 8 hours. I don't know why I'm yawning.
Sometimes that, like, it seems like it works against you when you get too much sleep and it makes you sluggish the rest of the day. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, I mean, I've talked about this on other programs. I am the user of a CPAP machine, and that has changed my life completely. So a 7 hours night of sleep is way different right now than it was even a year ago, where 7 hours actually was more like 2.5 hours, and the rest of the time my brain was struggling to be alive.
7 hours is huge. That's that's a coup for an adult.
Yeah. 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 Well, I don't have children, so.
I woke up today and I did my usual, I don't know if you do this. I just grab my phone and I look through it quick before I get out of bed. Sometimes I get stuck there for 20 minutes. Like I did today. I found this really cool Instagram follow called Dead Motels. I know it sounds weird, but it shows pictures of motels like when they were jumping in the 70s.
Yeah.
And you got all these like 70s people like smoking a cigarette and having a cocktail around a pool.
Yeah.
And then they show the same scene today, like the pool is empty and there's vines. It was so nostalgic and sad.
That same person from the 70s, like, still, I've been here since 1974.
Exactly. No, it was, exactly. It was really strange, but I could not look away. And they had pictures of old photo mats, just with vines grown over them now. And like, what do you do with that property when you're done, you know?
Are you talking about like the photo mats are just like a small little piece of like, you know, a tiny whatever in the middle of a parking lot?
Right.
So
it's not even as big as a tiny house. It's like a tiny house summer home or something. It's
exactly. So Dominic. Dom in Madison right now. So back in the day, we, you know, film and cameras. But we used to drop them off at photo mats. But some of these photo mats weren't like in a mini mall. They were inside like these. I don't know how to describe it. It's like tinier. It's like 1/4 of a woodshed sitting in the middle of a parking lot. You drop it off there, and it was like a drive up, drop it off, then you pick it up either like later that day or the next day. As a kid, it was so normal. And now looking back saying, whose idea was that to put someone in a room that is so easily destroyed by a car going 25 miles an hour?
I've never heard of that in my life either. This is the first time. Yeah. It reminds me of a kiosk, though. You're right. It does remind me a bit of a kiosk. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's kind of bad planning. It's like we only need a 2x4 square foot thing. I know it's just film, but we don't ever plan on needing more space. That's kind of strange.
Now, what if we have to hire more people? More people?
What's the Christmas party like? You can't fit everybody in there. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh,
but it
man,
was cool when you drove up. You're like, oh, it'd be cool to work in there. Like, the only person in the tiny booth. So bizarre.
And then you get to see the pictures. You get to see all the pictures.
Boy, how tempting would that be?
Right? I mean, come on, man. Come on.
I would never do that. That was a test, Greg. I would never do that.
Oh, okay. Well, I never said I would either. My come on there was more like a temptation, like, oh man, would Pete do it? Oh man.
We have a great show tonight, Greg. We've got, this is really exciting. We've got a Capitol reporter WPR reporter Anya von Wantendock is going to be on tonight talking about weed legalization in Wisconsin. I don't know if you know this, we're kind of surrounded by the other states.
Yeah.
That all can have weed and we can't.
Yeah. I always look at it from the point of view of like, yes, Minnesota, yes, Michigan, but Iowa. Iowa has medicinal marijuana. No offense, Iowa, but you're Iowa and we're Wisconsin. We should at least be up to speed with Iowa, but we're not. And we're going to talk to Anya more about that in a little while.
That's so funny. You said no offense to Iowa. I didn't even know. I kind of forgot for a moment there. Iowa bordered Wisconsin, but you're right. Mm-hmm. I always think Minnesota.
We are
Illinois,
surrounded
Michigan.
By legal weed.
Yeah. So we'll get the straight dope, no pun intended, from Anya. That'll be fun. And then, ladies and gentlemen, it is a Thursday night, which means this is the night we make our popcorn pick of the week, where we have a guest on. And tonight it's Brian Noonan, the host of Civic Media's Daybreak with Jamie Martinson. Brian will swing by. We'll get to know Brian about 6:20, and we'll do the popcorn pick of the week at 6:35. And as you all know, but I will remind you anyway, we'll talk to Brian about his movie-going habits, his snacking habits, and then he's going to give us a movie pick to take into the weekend. I'm excited for you to be a part of this, Greg.
Yes, I'm very excited. I cannot wait because I feel like I need to watch more movies. We'll talk more about this, and I'll talk more about the movie addiction that I married into. With my wife. My wife and I have been married now for, let's see, 14 years. Oh, my goodness. Nice. Awesome. And I will talk more about that in the second hour about the sheer amount of films that she owns in our house, both digital and physical.
I love it. Oh, that's fantastic. I did not know that about your wife. Oh, I did not know you were married 14 years. That's, that's sir. Huge.
Yes, sirree, Robert.
Okay. And then, well, let's do the Nightlight question of the night. I think it's time, Dom.
Ooh. Pregunta.
Okay. So in 2009, a movie came out called Grandpa in My Pocket. Really creepy, really weird. And a graphic of a grandpa in this kid's shirt pocket. Thank goodness it was the shirt pocket. Which inspired tonight's question of the night. What celebrity would you like to keep in your pocket, folks? That is our Nightlight question of the night. Let us know who you would like to keep in your pocket at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment. So be part of the show and play along and tell us what celebrity you would like to keep in your pocket.
Okay.
Has your wife seen that movie, Greg?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her. I could text her right now and find out. I'll do that over the commercial break and find out. I both wouldn't be shocked if no or yes, because the number is going to be very surprising of films that she owns and has seen.
That's so awesome. Well, I'm excited. We should have her on the show one night and talk about it.
Oh, she will never do that.
No, come on.
No. She's it's very clear who is the ham and the starved for attention boy in our relationship. It's me. She's just like, all right, let him spin out until he gets tired.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So play along, folks. Let us know what celebrity you'd like to keep in your pocket. I will give my answer a little later, as will Greg, I'm sure, and Dom. Yep. But right now, what do you say, Greg? Should we get to our three big things?
Let's get to our three big things.
Sorry about that.
Another one of the best on Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach. The budget's endless.
Did we catch you off guard there?
It's every time I've noticed the past couple of days, I keep getting thrown off with this big story. I don't know what it is.
From now on, what we'll do is we'll just have a night. We'll say, hey, in 30 seconds, we'll talk about the big stories, Dom.
That'll be a great help. Thank you so much.
No problem. All right. What's the first story, Pete?
Americans leaving in big numbers and offsetting how many people are coming here, Greg. Yeah. It's a big deal. Yes. Tucker shared this with us in the Wall Street Journal. And there's some crazy statistics. It was a conference called Expatsy, and they're calling it the Donald Dash. Like, people want to leave America, and they're saying it's because of Donald. But I think, I have to admit, there are times I've wanted to live in other countries just for the adventure, not because I didn't like America. I mean, my whole family's here. But, I guess a loss of 150,000 people in 2025, and that is expected to grow in 2026.
I know people who have—so here's the interesting thing is that when when Donald Trump was elected in 2016, a lot of people were saying, well, I'm going to move to Canada. I'm going to do this. And, you know, none of them did. And I mean, I had one friend who moved to Canada because his wife is a doctor and she got a job in Canada. So he sort of was like, I'm out of here. But no one really did. Now I know at least I know three people. I know two people who have moved, one person who is currently on their way to getting out of America. And I'm just wondering, you know, do what you want. And I agree with you, Pete. It's there's always been this thought of, oh, where would I live if I live somewhere outside of America? But will they come back if things change? I mean, if you move there, you're moving. I mean, it's not an easy task to just move to a different country. There's a lot of things that go into it. So if things turn around in your view, do you then say, well, I'm ready to come home, or are you in that country? I mean, the thing in this article, too, and we'll put it in the show notes, is that people are moving there for educational opportunities. This blew my mind. People are moving to Mexico for elderly care because it's so much cheaper there.
Yeah. That was surprising.
I was blown away by that point. Absolutely blown away. And I mean, 150,000 people doesn't seem like a lot, but I feel like that's a lot of people just to say, well, because of what's going on, we're going to get out of here. And my question would then be, all right, would you come back, or are you just going to stick it out in another country with free healthcare?
That's a great question, and that's where I was going to go. Like, the free healthcare that's almost a deal maker in a sense, mm-hmm. that like it's so expensive. And I see the most recent thing, and maybe it was from the State of the Union or whatever. Oh, people are going to have, and George Bush pushed for this, health savings accounts. Oh, I saved $800 last year. My surgery is $50,000. I mean, it's the health saving thing, please. It's not a thing. So I think you could move to another country, and that healthcare, that's a big financial advantage you would have for the length of your life, you know?
Absolutely. And that just brings, you know, we've talked about this in, you know, articles from this past week, is that this just opens up the conversation for a bigger point. Like, all right, why are people moving? If healthcare is a big thing, then, you know, why can't America have universal healthcare? And then people raise their fists going, that's too much. And when you break down the numbers, you're like, it's not as expensive as you think it is. So, I mean, but lobbyists, money, people, stuff. Yeah. So it just makes it, I don't know. Like, I can't see myself moving out of this country to for any reason. I mean, I have this job. I have to be here in America for it, and
I
want to be here.
Ditch me now, Greg. We just connected this week. You can't go. You can't do this show from Portugal.
I was going to say Japan
at 80 degrees.
Ooh.
Welcome to Nightlight. It's daytime here where I'm at.
Oh man, it's a Thursday night. Let's introduce the next big thing, and then we'll do a break and we'll come back. Oh, actually, let's do the break and we'll come back and do the second.
Okay.
Big thing. Is that okay with you? Is your finger on the button? Are you ready?
The finger is not on the button. We'll wait until the next break. You know, I think that'll just make it easier.
When we return, the other two stories for our top three we'll be talking about. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Oh my goodness, here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, that's for Greg, baby. Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach, and he is rocking to some Phil Collins. You know, it's funny. I have not met a Phil Collins fan like you in a long time. You're a huge fan.
I am. I really am. And the thing is, for me, is for a long time, I was a Phil Collins hater. I really dug into the idea of, oh, Phil Collins ruined Genesis. No. He took a situation and he made it great, and then he took his own personal pain and made it into amazing music. He is one of, and he's also, first of all, he's a musician. He's a drummer first before anything else. He is he's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's an Academy Award winner. He's a Grammy Award winner. But he is a drummer first and foremost, and that's how he's always seen himself, as a musician first, and that's what I love. We don't have enough time to talk about this, Pete. I love Phil Collins. I love Genesis.
That's not even our second big thing.
No,
But you still, I appreciate that you weighed in on that. Dom, let's go for it, buddy.
Are you ready? All right. So as we all know, the Epstein files, the depositions, all the so Hillary Clinton was deposed today in a closed door proceeding. And it had to be paused because during the House Oversight Committee's deposition, a Republican politician whose name is Representative Lauren Boebert decided to send a photo of the closed-door proceedings to a right-wing political influencer by the name of Benny Johnson. Yes, an adult male who goes by the name of Benny, and his last name's not Hill. And this had to pause the proceedings because this is against the rules. You cannot send you cannot send photos, information. This is closed door. It is a deposition, and it is to be reported on exactly how they say. And she did this, and they had to pause it. And I saw the video of the folks at the building coming out, and the guy talking about it was just so worn. He's like, "So we had to pause everything because someone thought they would just take a photo and send it to an influencer." And it was just, and that's what she, I mean, I this is so American. And here's the best part, everybody, is when asked why she did this, because she knew she wasn't supposed to, her response was, "Why not?
Closed what? Door?
You've been in on these before. This is nothing new. Were you not listening to the rules?"
I think, yeah, I don't even know what to say to that. Like, and will there even be some kind of reprimand or something? Or is it just like, you know, just Lauren. Okay. That's just,
yeah, because there are no, Pete, there are no consequences. Come on, man. Come on. What are they going to do to her? Oh, you've lost your vaping privileges. Okay.
The real question is, how many likes did the photo get?
That's exactly. I'm sure that the dude, Benny Johnson, whose name I love saying, because as I said, that's an adult human male. he'll probably eat this portion of the story up even more so, saying they don't want me to have the information because they don't want the truth to get out there. Sure. Right. Sure, Benny. Okay, Benny.
The truth. Tell me more. Here is someone being deposed sitting in a chair. Let him break the big story. All right. Story number three, Mr. Lee, if you will.
This one is,
I love this. Go ahead, Greg.
TMJ4 reporting. And by the way, this comes via our on the Nightlight team. Amanda sent this today. Nimmer said, Johnsonville announces Dr. Pepper inspired sausage hitting shelves in March. She posted this in our chat and she said, a friend sent this to me. And I told her, this was not a friend who sent this to you. This is someone whose life is inspired by chaos. Johnsonville is launching a Dr. Pepper inspired sausage at retailers nationwide beginning March the 1st. The company announced Wednesday. The product, which the brand has dubbed the Fizzy Glizzy, I don't even know what that means, is described as a mashup of Johnsonville's signature sausage and Dr. Pepper's 23-flavor blend. The company says the sausage delivers what is called a sweet and salty flavor profile. No, thank you.
I got to tell you, Greg, this doesn't bother me. There are worse pairings in life. And I'm not saying it's going to be good. I don't eat a lot of sausage. I don't drink a lot of Dr. Pepper. But the two of them together, buddy, I would throw some mustard on that bad boy and mustard that.
I got to say, I'm on Greg's side. I'm so
thank
sorry.
You.
I'm so sorry, Pete, but I am not. I can't run with that.
Cam in Appleton says, my hometown has s'mores brats and gummy bear brats. I don't know what to do with that information.
It's not as bad.
Is it infused into it, or do you wrap it around? Like, is it?
We don't have to
do all the things. We don't have to.
Because what are you going to do? What are you going to eat, Greg? You're going to put some sauerkraut or some onions and some mustard on that sausage. What are you going to drink with it? Probably a Dr. Pepper. This is just killing two birds with one stone. You're being more efficient in your day.
What if Dr. Pepper came out and said, "Hey, we've got a soda that tastes like a Johnsonville brat."
That would be horrible.
There it is. Okay. Yeah.
There is a hot dog water that came out that turned out to be a hoax. That almost made me vomit on the air last year. And then there was also the Heinz ketchup smoothie, which I found offensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you ever, the mac and cheese ice cream, did you ever have a chance to partake in that? I watched my friend eat it and I saw hope and joy liquid just out of her face. Just drain out of her eyes all hope for the world when she tasted mac and cheese. We don't need all the things. I'm just going to say. Also, by the way, mac and cheese ice cream was like $13 for a pint.
That's just, that's so unsettling.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this sounds as bad as any of those. I would be on board. This would be the breakfast of champions compared to what you just described.
Yes.
Just saying. Some protein.
Let that sink in.
Oh, it's about time we brought that back.
Hey, guys, let that sink in. Oh, man. Okay,
Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to we're going to take a short break. We're going to grab some news. Go grab some snacks, preferably snacks that taste like snacks. And when we come back, we'll be talking to WPR reporter, Capital reporter, Anya Van Wagtendonk, here about legalization of weed in Wisconsin and why we just can't get it together. More with that. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach, and across the desk from me in a sort of way is Mr. Pete Schwabe. In Madison, we have Mr. Dom Lee at the boards. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Do not forget, the question of the night is, what celebrity would you want to put in your pocket in celebration of a film called Grandpa in Your Pocket? That's a Pete Schwabe pick right there. And after the second hour, we'll be talking to Civic Media's very own Brian Noonan, co-host of Daybreak here on the network, about their new show, as well as his popcorn pick of the week. And then to round out the entire evening, we have a handy tip from Pete and Greg. It's underwear buying advice from a least likely source. So more about that in the second hour. Don't go away. But right now, I want to welcome our first guest for the evening. She is the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Anya Van Wagtendonk is our guest here. And we are talking about an article regarding the legalization of marijuana here in Wisconsin. You posted this article last week, about a week and a half ago, about these last few days in session and trying to get marijuana legalized in any way, shape, or form. First of all, good evening, Anya. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We appreciate you. This is something I've seen in various newspaper outlets for a very long time in Wisconsin, and I'm just going to keep the question very simple. I'm going to read it off my pad. Why can't Wisconsin get its act together on this?
Well, the answer to why there is not legal marijuana in Wisconsin is that Republicans control the state legislature, and Republicans functionally, they certainly don't want recreational marijuana, and many of them do want medical marijuana, but they can't agree on how. And so basically, until Democrats, who more or less uniformly want both recreational and medical marijuana, unless they take over the state capitol, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon, it's just not something that is a priority for Republican lawmakers.
Go on, Pete.
No, I was just going to say, so they just kind of revamped their efforts here. They've been trying for over a decade. Why even bring, like, if what you just said is true, what is their motivation to bring it to the awareness to the public that the Republicans don't want it passed, or to pressure them into bipartisan support? What do you think their strategy is?
Yeah, I think that's a big sort of a guiding principle of the Democrats, sort of, so long as they're in the minority party, is to do these kind of messaging moves. And so that's a big part of why they keep doing it, to show that it is one of their kind of central priorities. They also, you know, couch it, it's not just about sort of legalization. They would use the word, now I am blanking on the word, but essentially that it's part of this broader kind of social justice package, that it also has to do with decriminalizing things, looking at people's sentences on drug charges. So it's part of a broader argument for Democrats. And so again, I think it's a bit of a messaging thing, but then there's also a bit of a paradox here in certain ways, which is that most voters do support certainly medical marijuana. The vast majority of Wisconsin voters support medical marijuana. A majority supports recreational marijuana. And so there's also a divide, not just between Democrats and Republicans, but also between the majority of voters and where lawmakers and their elected officials stand.
And something in the story that struck me too is, on that point, as we've been talking about that for a long time, is that this is a point that sort of unifies Wisconsinites, a majority believes. But what you talk about too is, even though Wisconsinites agree on a majority side, it's not the top issue for almost anybody here. Like, they want it, but they have far other concerns. So maybe lawmakers look at it as like, we don't need to get to that right now because it's not Wisconsinites' biggest concern. We'll table it for now, which is they've been doing for a very long time.
Right. And there certainly are very passionate advocates in that world. The people who are involved in it have been involved, as you say. This is more than a decade that the folks in the legislature who are kind of pushing this issue have been trying. And a lot of those activists have been involved kind of since the beginning of that push. But you're right, that sort of insofar as your average voter is maybe not listening to every single report that I've ever put out and is not, you know, the most civically engaged, but goes and casts a ballot, you know, every 2 years, every 4 years. This is not that issue. This is not abortion. This is not, the economy, of course, like sort of kitchen table issues. I do think Democrats are trying to frame it a little bit more in terms of kitchen table issues. There's a sort of multi-step argument for it. There's the kind of criminal justice aspect that I mentioned, but then of course there's like an economic argument, which is that our neighboring states have primarily, they all have recreational and medical. I guess Iowa only has medical, but essentially that like Wisconsinites are driving over the borders and they are spending their money elsewhere and they could be spending it here. So that's kind of the other piece of it. And so maybe if they, again, kind of couch it in these other issues, perhaps that could be more motivating to voters. But again, it just doesn't, I think, rise to the level of immigration, abortion, that kind of thing.
Let's talk about that because I live in Marinette, Wisconsin. And I get, there are so many people that drive through this town now to go to Menominee, Michigan. I've heard, and this could be hyperbole or people just, exaggerating things, but like that they're making like, there's like 8 pot shops in Menominee, Michigan. And somebody told me they're making like, each one of them is making like $500,000 a week or something like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but they're making a lot of money. In fact, I know that when I hear from someone I haven't heard from in years, they're coming through town to buy weed. So how much revenue, if you know, are we leaving on the table here in Wisconsin? Or how many tax dollars? Have they done studies about that kind of stuff?
I don't off the top of my head have those kinds of numbers, but there's like a couple different pieces that I can speak to. So one is that we do have this hemp industry, like a kind of interesting subset of my story was, okay, if marijuana is illegal here, then why can I walk down State Street, right? I'm in the Capitol building in Madison right now, and a block from me, there's literally 6 different dispensaries. So what is that difference? And that's the hemp industry. And so the hemp industry here is a multi-million dollar industry. And so there is an argument to be made that there's, it could be sort of a related figure. But then another kind of interesting piece to your point, I spoke to some activists who talked about the deep pockets that you have in order to go into the legal marijuana business, let's say in neighboring Michigan, because it's kind of a cash business still, because there's still all of these issues with interstate travel and how you get business loans. And so a lot of these are cash businesses. And so there's also a question of what kind of startup costs, who could even get in on the ground floor of something like that in Wisconsin. And so it's like a more complicated economic conversation than just anybody can go open a franchise of dispensary. You know, it's not a Dunkin', let's say.
Oh, well, that takes care of my next question. Never mind. but that, I mean, that's that as a side note is very interesting because you look at the Illinois structure, it's very corporate, whereas Michigan has a little less corporate and like a few big corporations in Illinois own a lot of the shops. Because I have friends who will say I will drive to Michigan because of the lesser tax, the more amounts they can buy, whereas Illinois is far more strict because it's far more corporate. And I feel like that's something that, you know, when we talk about this discussion with Republicans, because Democrats seem to be on one side, as you said earlier, like they just seem to be like, let's do this now, let's be on board and get up to speed with everyone else. But Republicans, it's not even a matter they're just saying no. They just can't seem to get their message together because you have Robin Voss, who's then wife. I can't remember if she did or could partake in medical marijuana, but then Mary Falskowski, who said she would have if she could, you have Republicans who have an interest, but they just can't seem to ever get their message together on this. And is it the fact that they don't want to do it or they just can't get into a room and hammer out details?
So I think there's a couple different things. One is that one of the sort of secret privileges of being the minority party in the case of Democrats is that they don't have to kind of clarify the details because nothing they're doing is going to kind of get across the finish line or even get to committee. And so they get to kind of make grand statements and seem really united as a caucus. And it doesn't matter because they don't have to hammer out those details. And so that's kind of a messaging thing, especially in an election year, is it's getting to all kind of put their names and faces behind popular issues. And then figuring out actually how you would kind of make it happen is for a governing party to figure out. And so the governing party, which is the Republicans, there are, I think, just really strong philosophical differences among the caucuses and among the chambers. And so Mary Spolkowski has been this leading champion in the Senate. Even before she was Senate president, she as you mentioned, herself had breast cancer and wished that she could have partaken. She's been championing this issue for a long time. And then Robin Voss, who is, you know, nothing gets to the assembly floor without Robin Voss. He has said that he supports it, but in a much more limited form. So he wants it to be like state run for very, very few conditions. And essentially he said like he wants it to be treated almost like Sudafed or something. Mm-hmm. And so because they have these really philosophical differences, and Mary Spolkowski is much more free market based, right? She wants it to be more of that kind of not economic driver, because again, she doesn't want recreational, but just more of a like that it can offer an alternative medicine kind of pathway. And so those are just really different philosophical approaches. And so if you have that, and then you also have kind of a third branch of the Republican Party that just doesn't want it at all, then you don't have 50 votes in the assembly. You don't have 17 votes in the Senate.
Anya, how far are the Democrats away from, how many votes do they need, in your opinion, at this point from the other side of the aisle to get something like this going?
Well, so this is a kind of dirty little secret of how the Capitol works, which is that it doesn't matter if you have a majority of lawmakers who will vote for something, you need to have a majority of the majority party. So there's this kind of, it's called the rule of 50 in the assembly, the rule of 17 in the Senate, which is essentially that it's not a rule, it's a norm, I should say, but Republicans do not like to pass things that they need Democrat support to pass, right? They want to be able to demonstrate that they can get things done on their own. And so when we talk about bipartisan legislation, that means that Democrats joined a majority of Republicans rather than, you know, enough Republicans and enough Democrats kind of came together to get across that threshold. So that's also part of what's at play, is that even if technically a majority of lawmakers support this, you can sort of pretend like Democrats' votes at this point for how the Capitol is designed, their votes don't really matter.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. I mean, that just sounds like petty to me, but okay, that's fine. That's just my personal opinion. When it comes to the thing, like, you know, we saw a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, the threat to, and you talked about before, hemp-derived products, THC products that we see in dispensaries all over the state, which poses a lot of questions to say, if you don't have legal marijuana, how come I can buy this here? We also have Republicans who are trying to end that as well, in concert with what's going on in the federal government. Do you hear anything about that, or has that measure or that goal kind of faded away to stop those businesses from selling those products in those dispensaries here in the state?
Yeah, so it's complicated. So there's essentially three different approaches here right now to regulate hemp. So one would essentially do away with it, as they did at the federal level. It kind of mirrors that language. One would regulate hemp in the same way, or in a very similar way to how alcohol is regulated. So the distributors, the manufacturers, they're all kind of treated differently and would have to go through different processes. And then the third way would essentially just take what we already have and add an age limit, you know, like add, like shore it up a little bit, but essentially keep it where it's been. And once again, we have people who have different preferences, Republicans who have different preferences in the Senate versus in the Assembly. And so the Assembly wrapped up last week. There will not be a deal across chambers on this particular issue. And so that kind of kicks the can down the road till November, which is when the federal loophole closes. And then there's like this big open question about, again, what are these businesses on State Street and all across the state, what do they do?
Yeah, that's a lot of, we've talked to a lot of business owners from Wisconsin who say if this could end their entire way of living. And okay, yeah, we'll know more about in November, but we're going to continue our conversation with Anya Van Wagtendonk from the Wisconsin Public Radio. She is the state Capitol reporter, talking about all the stuff, all the news coming out of the Assembly and the State Senate as they close down for a short work year, as we call it, after the budget, but more with Anya after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media, Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. My name is Greg Bach. Across the aisle from me is Mr. Pete Schwabba. We are here with you until for another hour or so. We are so happy you're sharing time with us. If you want to be part of what?
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Greg. You said we're going to be here for another hour. I don't have that kind of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be here for another hour because I care. Pete has things to do, I guess. We are here right now with I always like to get the titles correct because I like to be state capitol reporter from the Wisconsin Public Radio. Anya Von Wagtendonk is here talking about legalization of marijuana in Wisconsin, why we can't seem to get it together, and you know the ever widening long road to maybe getting medical marijuana in the state someday, ever, probably not. But we're talking about the article that you posted a couple weeks ago on this. And something that was in the article as well was this, I think, held belief that the Tavern League is somehow overshadowing this whole thing, putting their finger in the process saying you shan't have the legal marijuana because of what. And really, when it comes down to it, because I've talked to another Dan Schaefer, who is our political editor here, and he did some research and said they don't really have an interest in this case, and they don't lobby on it because they have to tell people what they're lobbying on, and they don't. So this idea that big alcohol is behind us not getting it is not really the truth, is it?
Well, that's actually one of the reasons that I wanted to write this article, was because you hear that everywhere, right? That is the kind of like held myth in the state, is that the reason that Wisconsin is this kind of island in the upper Midwest is because of the hold that the alcohol industry has on the state. And you're exactly right, that lobbying records do not suggest that they put their thumb on the scale kind of in any direction with regards to marijuana. They have been involved, actually, we were just talking about regulating the hemp industry, and they have been involved in the bill that I mentioned that would regulate hemp like the alcohol industry. Mm-hmm. And so it's essentially to like bring this product into line with their products, in part because a number of people in the alcohol industry have entered into the, you know, sort of THC beverage space, mm-hmm. as well. That's been a growth point for distilleries and breweries and things like that. And so there's been kind of an interesting push-pull there, but it hasn't been, it is not that there's the kind of shadowy figure of the Tavern League that is deciding whether or not there's legal marijuana here. And that was kind of one of the myths that I wanted to clear up. It's a little bit less sexy than a conspiracy theory, that it's just, you know, a couple people in this building with different beliefs.
Well, the problem is when you try to, I've tried to tell people this in the past, and they're like, yeah, they don't register it on purpose because they don't want you to know. I'm like, oh, you know what? Never mind. You think the earth is flat. I'm moving on here. So I just like to believe that they don't have a real interest in weed being legal. Like, it's not going to destroy alcohol in this state. So I just think that, thank you. I appreciate you reporting on that, because I think more people need to know that point.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more complicated and also a little bit more boring, right? Like, a lot of it is just the politicking of this building.
Yeah.
Okay. So Anya, I think like in this state, Wisconsin, I think we have, you know, we've got film incentives now, and Democrats and Republicans work together. And I think it was Republicans that started that. And weed seems like a natural, I mean, who doesn't like to smoke a joint when they watch a movie, right? So I feel like, I don't even smoke pot, I'm just joking, but it seems like something that, you know, will there ever be enough pressure on them to do something like this? And where would that come from? Like, it seems like it's never going to happen unless, as you said, the Democrats take over, right?
Well, and again, you know, as I mentioned, polling shows that most Wisconsinites want something. It is increasingly, again, with these hemp products, increasingly, it's not just, again, like the hippies of Madison who are smoking a joint while they're watching movies, but it is people using it medicinally, or older people, or, you know, using it for pain management and this kind of thing. So it is becoming, I think, a little bit more normalized. But again, you always have that question of, you have voters and then you have people's voter bases, and there's not necessarily a one-to-one relationship between the people who are going to get an elected official into a representative office here at the Capitol and everybody who lives in their district, right? And so I think that's part of what you end up seeing, is just, again, a little bit more nuance there. But it is interesting seeing, just again, as the culture shifts, could that change the politics a little bit? And especially now that we know that Robin Voss is leaving, whoever follows in his footsteps, you know, where will they stand on this issue will be an interesting question.
And before we let you go, let's end with that. You know, Robin Voss announces he's not running for re-election in Wisconsin. That's a huge deal. Where the assembly and Senate are coming out of session. They'll be gone for the rest of the year, most likely. What have you heard from people on that, where, you know, his departure, what that means for Republicans, what that means for Wisconsin, and going forward into the midterms for 2026?
I mean, really, one of the big points is that, love him or hate him, Robin Voss is incredibly effective. He's an incredibly successful politician, and it will be very difficult for whoever comes after him to kind of just have that level of success. He's incredibly smart. He has a mousetrap memory. He's very good with details. And so he promotes his agenda. And so it'll remain to be seen, especially if Democrats pick up seats in the assembly. I don't necessarily suspect that they're going to swing the assembly, but I do think that the margin might get closer after the November elections. And so whoever, you know, comes after Robin Voss will both have their work cut out for them, a smaller kind of wiggle room to play with in terms of Republican votes. And then also, again, like, this is a generational political talent. And so following after that, the job isn't easy. And so that'll be really interesting to kind of see how that plays out.
If something doesn't happen soon, we're going to have to build 3 more lanes of traffic here in Marinette going into Michigan. That's all I'm saying.
I don't doubt that. It gets very crazy where I live in Kenosha on Sunday afternoons when everyone's rushing to the border to buy their gummies at the local mom and pop shop that's owned by a corporation. But Anya von Wagtendonk is the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She's been our guest tonight, talking about hemp, marijuana, and the ever. Just can't get it done, man. Seriously,
weed.
Just make
weed. I mean, seriously, it's just weed, Greg.
It's just weed. I don't know. It's just so frustrating when my friends who are like, "Why don't you have it legal?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'm not a politician." But Anya has been here today to talk about it. This will be in the show notes, by the way. Go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can check out all the shows we've done so far and read Anya's reports. Thank you so much, Anya, for being here. Have a wonderful night.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the question of the day. And then Brian Noonan from Civic Media Daybreak will be here talking about his popcorn pick. And then we'll close out the evening with a handy tip from Greg and Pete. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.